We have 3 weeks left in 2017, and we need $75,000 to cover our projected expenses for the year. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this worldwide outreach. You can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues, etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us at the end of 2017. If the average man on the street knows anything theological about Martin Luther, he knows Luther's association with the 95 Theses. Now, beyond that, he might not know anything at all. He might, if he had, you know, paid attention in history class, or if he happens to be a member of a church where such things have been taught as a matter of history, he might know that one of the things that Luther was deeply concerned about was an issue surrounding the Roman Catholic doctrine of purgatory. It's usually assumed that Luther just completely and wholly rejected the idea of purgatory. Did he? Joining us to talk about Martin Luther, purgatory, and the conservative Reformation, Pastor Christopher Jackson. He's pastor of St. John's Lutheran Church and St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Northeast Wisconsin, and he's author of a recent column for First Things titled Luther's Purgatory. Christopher, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thanks for having me on.
You say that, in general, Luther's method was to retain the good in what has been received in the Catholic tradition. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, so Luther differed from some of the other reformers in that, to put it a little bit colloquially, he didn't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater with regards to various traditions and so on, but rather for the sake of good order and peace, and really for the gospel especially, he saw that many of the customs, traditions, and so on that came out of the Catholic tradition were good and salutary, as long as they accorded with the scriptures. They didn't contradict the scriptures, so long as they promoted the gospel as well. And, you know, we could give a whole list of these things that Luther thought should be retained, like vestments and the various liturgical customs that had developed. But the difference between him and many of the other reformers is that whereas people like Zwingli and Calvin and so on thought that you had to have explicit scriptural affirmation or reason for various customs, Luther did not see that as necessary, but rather gladly received, you know, what had been developed within the church or would have been passed on from the church, the Western church, as long as they didn't contradict the scriptures and as long as they could be interpreted in a way which promoted the gospel.
Luther is known, of course, if for anything, for his 95 Theses, which had, in at least tangentially, to do with the Roman Catholic doctrine of purgatory. This principle of retaining the good in what's been received from Catholic tradition, did this principle apply even to the doctrine of purgatory with Luther?
Yeah, and this was really surprising to me as someone presented this particular quotation to me, to see that he was very comfortable using a lot of the same language as was used for purgatory in the Catholic tradition, although once again, understanding it in an evangelical way. So for example, he was very willing to talk about God's purifying fires and even to talk about an act of God's purification of us, purgation of us, yet to be consummated on the day to come. Now, obviously, this was different. He certainly rejected various ideas that were added to the scriptural understanding of God's purgation of us, God's purifying of us. And so that's where he really comes to differ from the Roman Catholics, in that he rejected what was added to the scriptures. So, you know, the Roman Catholics developed this whole idea that purgatory was a means of us to set right the debt that we had accumulated on account of our actual sins. And, you know, since most of us can't do that in our lifetime through supererogatory works and so on, well, we had these this opportunity, they would say, in the between death and heaven to make satisfaction for those various things. And as well, you know, the righteous deeds of the saints could be applied to us through masses and through the buying of indulgences. All of this far outside what the scriptures say regarding God's purification of us here in time and also in the time to come.
Where in scripture did Luther find this proper understanding of purgation or purification, both now and in the day to come?
Yeah, so really in a couple different places. One place that we actually read, if anybody listening in is on the three-year lectionary, we encountered this passage this last week in our epistle lesson from 2 Peter chapter 3. And there Peter says, "But by the same word the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly." And then he goes on to talk about how it may seem slow to us, but saying that is right in the Lord's time. He then goes on to say, "The day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be, live lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promises, we are waiting for the new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." So, you know, there's this passage in 2 Peter talking about how God will purify all of creation, including us, with fire. And, you know, some might say, well, okay, well, this is 2 Peter, this is analogomena, but it very much echoes a passage from St. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where St. Paul says this, "According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master, I laid a foundation and someone else is building on it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid in Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire." So those are a couple passages where it talks about the purification that will occur in the day of judgment, again, using this image of purifying fires. And then as well, he also discusses the purification that the Christian already receives in this day by means of the fire of the Holy Spirit. Jesus came and, John the Baptist said that Jesus would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire, and certainly indicative of the purificatory work that the Spirit accomplishes in us in this time as we await the day to come.
We're talking with Pastor Christopher Jackson about Martin Luther, purgatory, and the conservative Reformation. When we come back, someone's going to ask, if all my sins have been forgiven, why would I need to be purified either now or on the last day? We'll be right back.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Thousands of years have gone by since Adam and Eve's first sin, when God gave them a promise of a Savior who would win. Words from the Baby King, Concordia Publishing House's new Christmas arch book. The Baby King would make a great Christmas gift for children, grandchildren, and godchildren ages 5 through 9. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December, The Baby King.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Memoria Press now offers 6 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for students with special needs. These full-year curriculum packages for children with learning challenges enable you to teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art, poetry, science, history, Latin, literature, and Christian studies with incremental classical methods. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR17 to save on resources for your home or school.
Answering objections defending the faith, evolution or creation, transgenderism and homosexuality. These are some of the issues addressed at the San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, Saturday, February the 3rd at Faith Lutheran Church in San Antonio, Texas. Learn more at worldviewsa.org. This conference features issues that center a guest, Dr. Jan Lohmeyer, and Pastor David J. Weber. The San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, Saturday, February the 3rd, worldviewsa.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Martin Luther, Purgatory, and the Conservative Reformation. Pastor Christopher Jackson is our guest. Folks, please help us educate a new generation of Lutherans by making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. We're about $75,000 short of projected expenses with 3 weeks left in 2017. You can donate by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, no gift is too small. You can also make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping Issues Etc. in mind at the end of the year. Christopher, someone's going to ask, and I wonder how you would respond, if all my sins have been forgiven, why would I need to be purified either now or on the last day?
Well, this is simply because God will abide nothing unholy in his presence. I mean, Isaiah, when he looked at the glory of God, you know, he thought he was a goner because, you know, he was just simply the sin of the lips, and being of a people with sinful lips was bad enough in order to face condemnation before the righteous throne of God. And interestingly enough, what image do we get from Isaiah to talk about God's purification of him? The image of fire, as the angel places a coal upon the lips of Isaiah to purify his lips. And then what does he become? He becomes a prophet. So actually, with these purified lips, doing the work that God has set forth for him. God is holy, and we will be united with God in a way that is yet to be seen in the day to come. And so, therefore, God makes us holy as well. This doesn't mean that we don't need forgiveness until that day. We certainly do. The old Adam still hangs around our neck. But God, well, as Martin Luther says regarding the work of Christ, that he has done all this so that we would live in everlasting blessedness and righteousness. And so we will truly be made holy in that day to come. And that work is already being accomplished in us now.
What's the danger of that? Well, it's kind of a popular view nowadays. I think when you say purgatory, people say Luther rejected it. But what's the danger of this view that Luther rejected the temporal and eternal purification that the Holy Spirit works in believers?
Well, I mean, I think there's all kinds of practical problems that can arise with that. I mean, certainly one might use that as an excuse, saying, well, you know, I simply just can't do better. This is just the way it is. And so therefore, in a sense, the liberty that we have in Christ can become license. And then, you know, really on a other direction as well, it's a beautiful and glorious thing to proclaim all that God does for us. And so by excluding this beautiful part of the gospel, we exclude all kinds of comfort, all kinds of hope, all kinds of confidence that the Lord would really have us to have in this world. You know, we Christians are people of hope, and we are people of joy, and the works of God give us joy. So as we see this work of God that God promises to work in us, which we may have to take by faith in this time, still it adds to our joy to see this work that the Lord accomplishes in us.
You say that Protestantism in general, but Lutheranism in particular, need purification. What do you mean?
Well, Honestly, this last 500th anniversary of the Reformation, I took part in all the celebrations and so on, was glad to do so. But at the same time, it's a little bittersweet as we take a look at the landscape of Protestantism in the world today. Certainly in the birthplace of the Protestant movement in Europe, there are some very exciting things happening. I think especially of some of the exciting things happening with our partner churches in Germany and so on. But at the same time, religious observance and faith and so on in these areas is very low. In America, the Protestant mainline has very much declined on account of really the false theology and morality that they espouse. Even among more evangelical Protestants here in America, really facing an identity crisis. Are we going to be a movement for Americans' faithfulness or American greatness is a big question. Are we going to be allied with the political powers, or are we going to be simply proclaiming the gospel that others might believe? That's very much a big issue facing the evangelical Protestantism in America. In the Global South, a lot of great things happening there, very vibrant in many ways, but at the same time, they've inherited some of the worst that American Protestantism has to offer. The prosperity gospel is very, very popular in the Global South, including the leaders with just exorbitant lifestyles, and certainly seem to perhaps love gain more than the Lord in many ways. So we need purification. Lutheranism, certainly we need to press on to fully be who we confess ourselves to be. There's a lot of things getting in the way of that.
You say that the radical reformers in some cases have won the day in Lutheranism nowadays with about a minute. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, I just think that a lot of the reformers, Luther, Chemnitz, so on, if they were to look at church life in America today, they would be so shocked to see what Lutheran churches look like, many Lutheran churches look like these days. Certainly in terms of the way that we conduct worship, I think would be very shocking to many of them. Sort of the adoption of sort of an asacramental understanding of Christian ministry, where the sacraments are just kind of off to the side. Okay, we're just sort of generic evangelical Protestants who just happen to baptize babies, kind of a thing. And then, something that really concerns me, too, is that we've really, because we have rejected this, many Lutherans have rejected this idea that God has begun the work of renewal in us now, that certainly has opened the door to all kinds of antinomianism. Rejection of pursuing, the righteousness that God would have us to live by means of trying to obey the law as God would have us.
Pastor Christopher Jackson is pastor of St. John Lutheran Church and St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Northeast Wisconsin. He's author of a recent column for First Things titled Luther's Purgatory. You can read it under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Pastor Jackson, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll review Joel Osteen's already New York Times best-selling book, Blessed in the Darkness, How All Things Are Working for Your Good. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will be our guest. Christians sometimes snicker, chuckle, raise their eyebrows, maybe even think it's quaint or maybe just uncool to talk about purity. Scripture talks about it all the time and teaches us in no uncertain terms that it is through the purity of Christ that we are counted righteous before God, and that Christ's purity is given to us as well in this life and in the life to come. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc., is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Here's what you'll find in the latest Issues Etc. Journal. I've written a column titled A Letter to Ex-Evangelicals. Pastor Rob Kieslowski has detailed his journey to the Lutheran Christian tradition, and Dr. Ken Sherb writes about the story of an entire city's journey to the Reformation, Strasbourg, France. We'll send you the Issues Etc. Journal for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The free online Issues Etc. Journal.
Hi, this is Pastor Clayton from Zion Lutheran Church of Muskuda, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion is a congregation firmly grounded in God's grace given in the Word and Sacraments, where we treasure the timeless beauty of the liturgy. Zion is also a vibrant, young, family-friendly congregation where you would be warmly welcomed. Zion is located at 101 South Railway Street in Muskuda, Illinois, and we would love to share God's gifts of grace with you. For more information, please visit our website at zionmuskuda.com.